Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, let me try that again. Hebrews chapter 10. All right, that's better. Let's go there. And I want to talk to you this morning about don't give up on the promise. About not giving up on God's promises. You know, the Bible tells us that His promises are yes and amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Not maybe, not might be, but they're yes, they're amen. Right, right. Hebrews tells us, I love this scripture over the years, Hebrews 8:6 tells us we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes people... sometimes churches will try to teach that this has passed away and that's passed away. God doesn't heal any longer. You know, I heard a minister say the other day, I was going home, turned on the Christian radio. He's a good preacher, you know, for the most part, except when he gets on things he doesn't, you know, hadn't have the light on, I guess. But I heard him say, you know, we believers can't cast out demons. Well, I thought, well, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible said those that believe can. Amen. Amen. You know, so, you know, we have a better covenant. Healing, you know, we still have healing today. Yeah. It was under the old covenant, wasn't it? Yeah. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all his, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Right. Well, if that was true under the Old Testament... I'm believing it's true today. I told you, you know, one of the scriptures that I stand on them for healing, I mean, it's not necessarily a main one, but it spoke to me one morning. I was just reading through the Bible on the healing scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, where the Bible talks about healing. And I read in there in Genesis chapter 20, I believe it is, where it said God healed Abimelech, his wife, his maidservants. I thought, oh, now if God will heal this heathen king, He certainly will heal me, one of His children. So that puts some faith in me. Amen. Just that scripture right there. Praise God. So we have, Peter said we have exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Glory to God. So I want to talk to you about don't give up on the promise. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, as I said, verse 32. The Bible says, call to remembrance the former days, notice this, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Well, you know what? Whenever you receive revelation, the devil comes to try to take it away. Amen. Amen. He's not concerned with what you don't know. He's concerned with what you do know. Because what you do know has the power to defeat him.
Right.
Well, he's already defeated, but you understand. Put him under your feet. And not only does it have the power for you to defeat him, but if you tell other people, it gives them power.
Come on.
So Jesus told us He comes to steal the word, didn't He?
Yeah.
So He's but after you're illuminated, it's like I heard a Rhema instructor say one time. He said this, I was listening to him. And he said, had a guy, and he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I went to, talking about being at Rhema, he said, I went to Christ the Healer classes, and I got sick. He said, then I went to the classes on biblical prosperity, and I went broke. He said, then I went to the class on fasting and prayer, and I gained 10 pounds. Well, he probably had something to do with that part. That wasn't, the devil doesn't make you overeat, you know. And so, you know, but the point was, you know, here's the thing. Well, yeah, the devil will sometimes test you and try to steal that out of your life before it grows. How many know once a tree grows, that's the wrong time to try to mow it down? You know, I planted some trees in my yard when I moved there, Phyllis and I, and... you know, I just recently planted some more and behind the fence, you know. We own property behind our fence, about 16 feet. And I wanted something green in the wintertime to look at. You know, I've got trees that line the fence, and they block the view. But, you know, leaves are gone now.
Yeah.
And so that view's not blocked now. And so I'm going to get me some evergreens and plant back there. And when they'll grow up, and then they'll block the view for whoever lives there, whether it's Phyllis and I, or one day we really get enough gumption to move again. You know, we've thought about it, but we just don't want to do it again. But anyway, but you know, right now, honestly, really, they're so small, I could mow them down. I could take my push mower and actually mow them down, because they're only about probably between a foot and 2 feet tall, and just about big around as my little finger, or maybe this finger. So I could actually mow them down. But I got news, there's some trees in my yard I can't mow down with my push mower. They've grown too big. See, that's the way it is when you get a hold of a revelation. The devil knows if he's going to get it, he better get it quickly, because if it grows, it's too late.
Amen.
It's too late. Now, it's too late for the devil to talk me out of some things, because it's grown in my life to the point it's too big.
Right.
It's too big. And so, but he'll try to get it. See, I've always said this, the devil will try to keep you from being born again.
Yes.
He'll fight that. But once you get born again, he doesn't want you to know who you are and what you have,
right,
what belongs to you,
right,
and then about the nature and character of God. So after they were, Paul said to this church, he said, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Your translation may say sufferings, but it was just an attack. An attack. Now let me say this to you. I'm not prophesying to you every time you learn something, the devil's going to attack you. But I am saying there are times he'll try to take it away. Now the thing of it is, don't let him do that, because that seed's going to grow up, and that's going to beat the devil.
Amen.
See, Jesus said the kingdom of God's if a man should cast seed into the ground. He sleeps day and night, and the seed should grow up. He doesn't know how, you know. But when the harvest time comes, he immediately puts in the sickle and harvests it. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man should sow on the earth. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it grows up, it's greater than all. Amen. And I've understood that the Word of God sometimes in seed form looks like it's smaller than all the problems in your life. And you look at it, and I've seen people just throw it away like, well, that's not going to help me. You don't understand. I got cancer. Don't come in here with 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes I'm healed. I got something really seriously wrong with me. Now, I've had that. I've seen that. But what they don't know is you got to plant it. And you plant it, you let it grow inside your life, and you meditate on it, you water it. Amen. You confess it. You keep feeding on it. You keep reading on it. It grows inside of you. It gets bigger. And pretty soon, you can see this is the answer to my problem. This is it. You can't see it right off sometimes. You just got to take it by faith. Amen. You know, and I've seen that. I've had that. I remember the very first time. I don't know why this stands out to me, but it just stands out to me, Pastor Chuck. I just remember many years ago, I was young. And you know, this person had open heart surgery. Now, you go back 30 years or 35 years or, you know, in that range, and open heart surgery was a lot different than it is today.
Amen. Come on.
You see people have open heart surgery. Some of you have had it, perhaps, and you've had open heart, or you see people with open heart surgery, and the next day they're up on their feet. Years ago, it wasn't that case. The next day, you still don't know if they're going to make it. And I remember I hadn't seen anything like this. I hadn't seen it. And so they just done open heart surgery on this person, and they were in recovery, you know, and then they put them, you know, and I walked in there, and they, I'm telling you, man, it's just like, I'm a faith man. It's just like all the faith just tried to drain out of me, because I saw them, they were swollen probably twice their size, three times. They had tubes going out everywhere. It just looked like there was no way they could live through this, you know? And see, in that instance, see, That seed, I know what the Bible says, by His stripes we're healed. But at that moment, that seed looked really small. But you have to plant it, see. And so sometimes that's the way it is with people. They see their problems, they live with their problems, and it's just like this isn't the answer. But how many know the Word's the answer? You got to plant it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You could sow that, you know, that little acorn, you know what I'm saying? You could show that to the birds outside and say, hey, this is your new home. Well, you know, winking would tell blinking, Lincoln would tell Nod. Nod would tell Barney, and Barney would tell us, you're nuts. I can't even land on that, let alone live in that. You have to be an Andy Griffith follower to understand that. If you didn't get that illustration, it's because you didn't see that show. But anyway, it's hilarious. it's like Barney knew everything. He understood what birds were saying and stuff, you know. Anyway, so, but what, how many know, you know something that bird doesn't know. If you plant that, how many know that thing grows up? Not only can he live in it, but all of his friends can come and live under it. See, that's the way the word is. Amen. So, now notice he said, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Now, verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Amen. Your faith. So what happens when you're going through this testing after you've been illuminated? He said the thing to do, don't cast away your confidence. Because it's got great reward. King James uses the word recompense or payment of reward. It'll pay you rich dividends. Your faith will do it. Your faith will come through.
Right.
Hallelujah. For you have, now notice this, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise, or you would receive the promise. So we got to just stick with it.
Right.
Everybody say stick with it.
Stick with it.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. Not just use our faith once in a while, but live by it. But if any man, notice this, draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He didn't say he wouldn't love you. He just said he didn't get any pleasure out of people that draw back because faith pleases God. Amen. So we're going to teach this morning. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Now I want you to notice now this part in verse 38 where he said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, we're talking about here, don't give up on the promise. Hallelujah. The devil will fight you. Now go to Numbers chapter 14. Go over there. Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Sometimes you have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And sometimes you just have to be persistent, endure. How many love these words? Patience. Hallelujah. But just stick with it. Stay with the promise. Because God's word's true. I said, God's word's true. Amen. You know, here's what I've learned. Here's how I've learned to handle. Have you ever had any faith failures, Pastor? Or you ever had any times you prayed for something and it didn't come to pass? Well, yeah. Anybody that's really honest with you, you know, would tell you, yeah. But here's what I've learned. I've just learned over the years, either God missed it or I did. Now, help me decide. Help me think. Sometimes I realize, and I don't condemn myself. I don't condemn myself because I just realize, there's some things, you know, the Bible talks about the secret things belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't just use that as a religious cliche to cover failures, but I just know let me say it. This is a better way to say it. Here's a better way to say it. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. See what I'm saying? We you know, as wonderful of revelation as God's given us, it's still compared to what God knows. It's just seeing through a glass darkly. You know, like the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible talks about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. You know what word means? Word's just a word. That's not much, is it? You know, if I got up to preach today and all I said was one word, we'd service be over already. But I got some more words to say. See, God just gives us just a portion of what He knows about something. And we call it a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. So we don't get everything. You know what I'm saying? So when I have times, and I've had times where, you know, I was believing for something and for whatever reason, maybe I didn't stand long enough, or maybe I didn't know enough, or maybe I wasn't obeying something. It didn't come to pass. Well, how many know, I just learned real quickly, that's not God's fault, that's my fault. God's not the problem. Amen? So I don't get angry at God. I don't quit coming to church. I don't quit tithing. I just say, well, praise God. Thank God. God's word's true. Amen. Are you with me now? So now here in Numbers, I want you to see something here in Numbers 14. Go there. Numbers 14. And I just want to read four verses here. In verse 1, Numbers 14, 1 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried, and the people wept that night." Sound like they're just wonderful, having a wonderful time, doesn't it? Now, why are they doing this? Well, they're doing this because God told them that He'd given them the land of Canaan, and they went over there and looked at it, and they, you know, I don't know what they were expecting, for all the people, all the inhabitants just to fall down or run or what, but they got over there and found out there were giants there, there were enemies there, and, you know, Moses had sent 12 spies out, 10 come back and said, "We can't do it, we're like grasshoppers in their sight." And then two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Let's go right now. We're well able to overcome it." Amen. But you know what? You know, in the world, it's just like sometimes that majority voice always seems to be the one that's right, but it's not. And so here, you know, they believe the evil report, the bad report. Well, how many know that's not what God said? God said it's your land. I said God said it's your land. So he didn't, you know, God didn't even tell him about the giants. You would have thought that would have been something he might have mentioned. I mean, they were, pretty big. But the reason God didn't say anything about it, because it didn't mean anything. Obstacles don't mean anything with God. You ever notice he doesn't tell you sometimes, you know? Amen. You know, like God will tell you to do something and you got, you know, you tell him, "Well, that costs a lot of money." Like he didn't know. Like it's an obstacle. Amen. Now, you know, see, sometimes we quit because here's why. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, when you're a believer and you believe the word and you feel like quitting, the reason you feel like quitting is because you're just sensing the impossibility of man. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "With men, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible." So sometimes you sense that impossibility. Don't give in to that. Go on ahead. With God, all things are possible. Are you with God? How many are with God? Well, with Him, all things are possible. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil, he doesn't highlight the possibility of God. He highlights the impossibility of you. It's like I said, I used to see things, natural things. Not that, you know, it's all about natural things, but God wants to bless us with natural things. And I used to see natural things, and I used to think, man, I could never have that. I could never have that. Why? Because it's just my mentality. You know, I had a poor mentality. I don't have the money, and I don't have the wherewithal, and I don't have the schooling, and I don't have the ability. And I don't have the smarts and all that. I found out God makes up all, He can make all that up if you just trust Him. Hallelujah. And so there's a lot of things I used to think I'll never have. You know, when I used to, you know, I used to say, "Well, I could never have a new vehicle." Now, you maybe once said, "I never would buy a new vehicle." Well, that's you. Just leave me alone. I like the smell. Anyway, besides that, right now, I bought a truck 3 years ago, brand new. And today it's worth as much as I paid for it 3 years ago. Who would have thought that? Talk about crazy economy. Matter of fact, I think it's worth a little bit more. I think I could sell today and make some money off of it. That's weird. But anyway, I'll take it, but I'm not going to sell it. Well, unless you want to give me a really good price for it. All right. But anyway, you know, I just think, you know, I can't ever have a new vehicle. One day Phyllis and I bought a new vehicle, but it didn't have leather in it. We can't buy one with leather. See what I'm saying? There's always going to be a hurdle there you got to overcome. No, it's got to be cloth. Well, some people like cloth better than leather. I like leather. I like the smell of it. Amen. And so, you know, that was why, that was, you know, finally I broke the new vehicle hurdle one year. That was back in the, I don't know, the late 80s, I guess. You know, I mean, my first, I bought cars that they weren't on the front of the lot. They were behind the building. Come on, are y'all with me? First car I bought was $150. It wasn't sitting out on the highway where they show, it was behind the building. You know that's bad when you go car shopping and the salesman takes you behind the building. Well, that was just where I was at, you know. Amen. But when you get saved and you start believing God and He starts blessing you and you start trusting Him, and you get your mind renewed, see. You can start, and I'm not talking about just natural things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just using this as an example because spiritual things are more important, right? I'd rather have the anointing in my life, the blessing of God, the peace of God. Come on, are you with me? I'll tell you, man, you can have all kinds of natural things and I'll have the peace of God and you got a bad life. But if you got the peace of God, but God will bless you with these things. And so, you know, I remember finally I broke the leather barrier. Wow, I can actually believe God that I can handle this and pay for this and get a vehicle with leather in it. Amen. It's not a big deal. I'm not more spiritual. I don't get in there in those leather seats and the power of God starts moving because they're leather. And God said, well, if they'd been cloth, I couldn't have moved, you know. Hey, he'll move on a wooden bench. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's just, you know, how many are glad your chair's got a little padding in it? But you know, God would move even if when we first started out, we had metal chairs. God moved then. Amen. I think he might have moved more because people didn't have the tendency to fall asleep. Hallelujah. How many understand? That's just convenient. That's all. It has nothing to do with spirituality. Has nothing to do. But yet, at the same time, God doesn't mind you having it as long as it doesn't control you. It doesn't mean so much to you. You can't give it all away. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, God will take you up to higher realms, see? Now, God had told them, he said, this is your land, but because they saw obstacles, now they're crying about it. Well, what did they think was going to happen? Of course there's going to be obstacles. The devil's not going to just lay down. Amen. Now, verse 2, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now they got a suicide spirit on them. These people are bad. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, God, you know, one minute, if God's doing something for them, then they're dancing, they're shouting. But the moment they run into trouble, it's like, oh, I wish we were dead. Thank God I don't pastor this group. Hallelujah. Now, some of their relatives may come here, but I don't pastor this group. Amen. Come on, have some fun with me this morning. Amen. See, you know, so they said, verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now, did God bring them in there so that they would die? What did He bring them in there for? He brought them in there so they could cross that river. Amen. And possess a land that flows with milk and honey. That's why He brought them in. He didn't bring them. So God, look, they're just giving up on the promise. And they said, listen, they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Man, they are ready to go back into bondage because they don't want to fight. They don't want to hang on to the promise. Well, there's a couple in there, Caleb and Joshua, that rather, they held on to the promise. Amen. And you read in the Bible, we're in Numbers, but if you would go to if you went to Joshua, when they're in the land, it's 45 years later, and Caleb is still hanging on to the promise. He's 85 years old. Amen. And he says, I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40. The Lord's kept me alive. Now give me this mountain. You know why he wanted to see where the giants were. This is the mountain where the giants were. He wanted that because that's the good land. The giants had the best land. And so he said, I'll take that. 85 years old. Come on, 85 years old. And he wants the best land. Well, why is that? Because, look, he didn't give up on the promise. He waited 45 years, but he didn't give up on it, and he got it. And you get to the end of the book of Joshua, it says this, and I like this. It says, there's not one good word that the Lord spoke that's failed. It's all come to pass. Everything. Now, not the original people he spoke it to didn't get it because they didn't hang on to the promise. But he kept it to the next generation. I don't know about you, but I don't want the next generation getting my blessing. Amen. Amen. So, we have to hang on to the promise. Amen. Come on, are you with me this morning? All right. Now, let me see where I want to go. Let's go to I'm trying to decide here where to go. Go to Luke chapter 22. I think I'll read this scripture. Luke 22. Luke 22. You know, God, when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and entered into the ministry, I got saved in December of 1981. And then I started preaching in the ministry, and I found out, I felt like I was called to the ministry before I ever got saved. Probably several months before I got saved, I began to get inclinations of that. I'm not even Christian. And so, now I'm a drug user. I'm a partier. That's my lifestyle. But yet, I'm starting to sense, I think I'm called to preach. Well, you know, in my not knowing anything, I thought that meant God was going to send me to Africa or someplace. You know, that's what I thought ministry meant. God sent you to Africa. And I have been to Africa. But I thought, man, I don't want to do that. And yet, I wrote in those days, there was a man that was, he's still alive. He's just not like big like he was. But in those days, he was the biggest thing coming and going. His name was Jimmy Swaggart. Anybody remember Brother Swaggart? Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart had the biggest ministry in all the world, bigger than anybody's. Just to keep it going, we're talking about 1980, the early 80s, it would have been late 70s or 1980. He had to have, I think they said $1 million a day just to keep going. I don't think you heard that. $1 million a day just to keep going. But all the outreaches and the TV and everything he had. And so naturally I'd heard of him. You know, I'd heard of him. I'd heard of Billy Graham and everybody that breathed had heard of Oral Roberts. The news media made sure. And so I wrote him a letter. And I said, now, here's the situation. I'm not saved. I'm doing drugs. And I feel like I'm called to preach. And I thought it meant going overseas. Could this be possible? And I got a letter back about 2 weeks later. Said, yes, it's possible you're called to preach, but the first thing you need to do is get saved. Well, that makes sense. And his advice I got was really good. Said, and then get in a local church because you'll need to grow, and that's where you'll develop at, basically, is in a local church. So get saved, get in a local church. Well, about 2 months later, I followed that advice and did that. But I began to God began to speak to me after I got saved. He began to speak to me about things I was going to do in ministry. Now, I'm not talking about I hallucinated it. I made it up. No, God began to speak to me. Now, that's been, this April will be 40 years. Some of those things haven't come to pass yet. Are you with me now? See, and in that process, the devil will try to tell you it's not going to come to pass, or God didn't really say this, right? Because there's obstacles. Well, see, one thing about God, when he tells you something, he just doesn't necessarily do it overnight. You know what that 40 years has been like to him? It's about like when you've been gone from the house for about 3 hours. That's what that's like for God. It's nothing. Now, I'm like David. David said one time in the Psalms, he said, remember how short my time is. I'm like, God, hurry up here. You know, I mean, I'm not getting any younger. But, you know, God's got ways of getting things done. Amen. And he's got his way of doing things. But you can't give up on the promise. Hallelujah. And so have I been tempted at times to give up? Yeah, everybody that I know of probably has. But I'm not giving up on the promise. God's word's true, whether that's this book or whether he prophetically, and it was really him, said something to me. Now, I do have something to do with it. I got to be obedient. Amen. I got to be faithful. But God's good to his word. Amen. Now, look in Luke chapter 22, and this is scripture we've read again, but we've read before, but we're going to read it again. Luke chapter 22, and I tell you what, let's just begin reading at verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when you turn back around, strengthen your brethren." Now, Peter's who he's talking about, it's funny. Jesus would call him Simon when he wasn't being very stable. You know, Peter meant rock. Simon meant like a reed, something that's blown with the wind. And so when Peter would be unstable, he'd call him Simon. And here he emphasizes it, Simon, Simon. He said, "But I have prayed for thee," notice verse 32, "that your faith fail not." In other words, Satan was out to separate him from his faith. See, he's out to separate you from your faith. He's out to separate you from the promise of God, see. That's Ephesians tells us. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I know we're looking at some scripture this morning. Are you getting something out of this? Yeah. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Go there. Ephesians 6. It's important that we understand that just because God's given us promises in his word, or just because maybe he said something and it was truly him prophetically, because I've had prophetic words that were of God. I've had prophetic words that I don't think so. Okay? I've had prophetic words that I thought, we'll see. Okay? Is that all right? See, I don't base my life off prophetic words. They're an addendum. I base my life on what God said. See? See, if a prophet, if somebody I have been prophesies to me, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, Pastor, thou art to go to Africa and start a church," I'm not even packing. You understand? Why? Till I hear God tell me that, I'm not doing it. Because if I go there without God telling me, I better take that person with me so I'll know when to come home. I'm not going to do that. See? Paul said to judge them. Why? Now, why would he tell us to judge it? Because people can miss it. Now, that doesn't mean they intended to miss it. But people can miss it. See? They can maybe interject their own mind, their own thoughts. Amen. That's why we judge it, see. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stay put until I hear from God. Amen. Now, In Ephesians chapter 6, go there, verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not strong in your flesh, but strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So Paul's telling us that, we have a wrestling match going on here. We're going to have to wrestle with these spirits. Hallelujah! Now, that doesn't mean we're demon hunting, but it just means that that we are going to be contested, see. And I don't know about you, but wrestling's not fun. Not the real thing. I'm not talking about, the fake stuff, but, when I was a kid in school, we had wrestling teams, and then we had to wrestle. That's what wrestling teams do. And I just remember that, this ain't really fun. This kind of wears you out, right? And so, some of you, maybe I'll explain this to you. There is something else besides what do they call that? The WWF, WWE, whatever, WWE. Did you know? Oh, this might get me letters. That's not real. I'm not saying they're not athletic, because they are. I'm not saying they're not skilled, because they are. But it's not real. It's not real. It's just, it's a soap opera. Amen? Now, if you've ever watched that, where they do multiple, help me out, mixed martial arts? That's real. That's real. But these guys, matter of fact, I've heard a preacher say one time, his uncle was one of those wrestlers. He was a professional wrestler. And he said he took me to the wrestling match one day, and he said, "I was so excited, He said, before and after the match, the guys were back in the back room playing cards together. They were friends. They get out there, they hate one another, going to kill one another. Hit one another with chairs and all. Those guys are talented because they do swing stuff. They do stuff. But they learn how to roll with it and how not to affect you, not hurt you. So they are talented, but it's not real. All right. I just got kicked out of 3,500 churches across America for saying that. But it's not true. Amen. But we have a real wrestling match. And it's not with flesh and blood, but it's with these demonic spirits. What are they trying to do? They're trying to keep us from obtaining the promises of God. But he said, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." Notice that. See, having done everything to stand, how many know sometimes you just got to stand therefore? Amen. You just got to stick with it. Amen. Through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Amen. Jesus told us in Mark's gospel, he said that some would receive the word and they'd receive it with gladness, but would be only endure for a time. They'd only be temporary. In other words, they wouldn't have any staying power. They couldn't stick with it. And so he said when pressure comes, they'd give up. So there, it's not good. It's not good. He said there'll be people that start good, but they don't finish good. They don't stick with it. You have to stick with it. Amen. Now, I don't know. I'm just about to wind down here, but I'm just trying to decide where I want to go next. Let me think just a minute. Well, let me just quote this scripture. Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, for He is faithful that promised." How many know we got to hold fast to it? I think I want to look at one last scripture. Is this all right? Philippians chapter 1. We're in Ephesians, so just go to the next page or so. Philippians chapter 1. I was reading this scripture the other night at the Evelines Church. I want to read it tonight, or this morning. Philippians chapter 1. Go there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Say this with me. I'm not going to give up on the promise.
I'm not going to give up on the promise.
You have to make that determination, because if you're not determined, the devil just, He's your opponent. You know that, right? Our adversary, the Bible calls him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with all these demonic powers. And I don't want you to think that life's just a bunch of warfare all the time. It's not. But yet, they will contest you over the promises of God, trying to keep you from receiving. Amen. Are you with me now? Sometimes we have to just stay the course and just keep our faith. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. This some way or another, this just always spoke to me. I learned this from him. You may have learned it from me, but I learned it from him. He said, keep the switch of faith turned on.
Right.
You got to flip it on. Amen. Is your switch working? You got to keep it turned on. How many know you got to have the switch of faith to start with?
Right.
Amen. You know, Mom, her outside lights weren't working, you know. And someone told me, said, they're not working. I took her home and it's just dark, you know. So I thought, well, I'll go check that out. So I go over there, you know, and first thing I check is, we used to call it the fuse box. Because we used to put round fuses in them. And so I checked the fuse box. That's just old. We're old people. Leave us alone. Fuse box. And everything was fine. And all I'm thinking, okay, why isn't that working? The first thing you do is put a new bulb in it. You get the old one down, you shake it. And I'm thinking, well, sounds good. But you put another one in anyway. It still doesn't work. And I checked the fuse box, the electrical panel. Everything looks good, and I'm thinking, well, why isn't that working? So I get my electrical tester, and I check, and there's current going to the switch, but then I get on the other side where the switch is sending current, supposed to be sending current, to the light, and it's not sending any current. So I'm thinking, okay, the switch is bad. So I put a new switch on and flip it on, and voila, all the lights come on. So I put this bulb in there, and it's like it's got an eye on it, you know, where it's it does the dawn. So I'm telling Mom, leave that switch on, and that'll go off when it gets light out. That way, there's always light. You need light around your house. You live alone. It's dark. You need light. So I get it all going. It's on, and it's working. And I said, just leave the switch on. Phyllis and I leave. It's nighttime. She says, we'll no longer get around the block. She'll flip the switch off. She says, go ahead, drive around the block. We drove around the block. The lights were off. Okay, I'm done. I've done my part. I've been a good son. I fixed it. You got to flip the switch. You got to leave the switch of faith turned on. Amen. See, all I can do is teach you, but you got to flip the switch, and you got to leave the switch of faith turned on. And that's what Brother Hagin used to say, and I love that phrase. He said, keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? That means that sometimes you don't have that instant manifestation.
Amen.
And when you don't, you got to leave the switch of faith turned on.
Yes, sir.
That God is working. Things are working. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so, the devil will fight you to try to get you to turn the switch off. You see, Mom she comes from a different generation, and you know, you come back and you get close to that. She grew up, you know, and she was born during the Great Depression, you know, and her parents lived through the Great Depression. And those people had a different mindset about things. I mean, and naturally you'd understand it because they really had dealt with some issues financially and struggles. And so, man, they saved everything they could. They didn't leave a room and leave the light on. They didn't do that. They didn't have the abundance that we have today. Come on, are you with me now?
Yeah.
And yet we got more SAS buckets in America complaining about how bad we have it in our country, how awful our country is, and got it richer than we've ever had it. Somebody just needs to slap them. I feel a holy slap coming on. I feel a righteous kick you in the seat of the pants coming on. Why don't you wake up and realize how good you got it? Or just move to another country. I mean, sometimes these athletes, they just crawl all over my skin. Can I just unload today for communion? We'll repent here in a little bit, James. I mean, I'm thinking, you guys bellyaching how bad it is. Go over to one of those countries that you admire and see if you're going to get paid those millions of bucks for throwing a ball in a hoop. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not in charge. I remember some of the movie stars said, well, now if they get in office, I'm leaving the country. You lying thing.
Right.
We would have paid to get you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd have chipped in $1,000 to send you on. Hallelujah. That just flies over me when people are unthankful for how good we got it. You know what I'm saying? And then we get these professors in colleges and on feeding this stuff to our kids about how bad it is. You know, and some of them's never even been out. They're talking about how they never been out of the country. I'd like to take them on about 30 mission trips and see what happens to them. Praise God. Philippians. Paul's in worse shape than that. He's in prison. Philippians, are you there? Verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I, the word gain means promotion. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. It'll mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot, the King James, wot not, or I don't know what I want to choose here. Now listen to this before we read any more. Here's a guy, listen now, he's in prison. The Roman government has him locked in prison. He's in a hellhole, folks. And they're threatening to take his life. But I want you to notice, he said, he's not saying it's up to them. He's saying it's up to me. I don't know what I want to choose. He's not saying, I don't know whether the Roman government's going to let me live or not. Come on, are you with me this morning? See, yeah, his biggest threat is them killing him. That's his biggest threat in the natural. And he's not even factoring them in. He said, I don't know whether I want to stay or go. He's not saying, he doesn't even mention the Roman government. They're not a factor in this. Now, they may think they are, but they're not. Right? See, you read he told Timothy when he got to be old. Everybody say old. When he got to be old, he told Timothy, he said, I'm now ready to depart. I'm ready. This is really revealing to me. Listen now. Listen to what else he said. He said, for I'm hard pressed between two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. He's simply saying this. He's saying, look, you know, if I wanted to go, I could go. I could go on and be with the Lord. But I'm having a hard time deciding what I want to do. He said, I really want to go, but it'd be more of a blessing to you if I stayed. I love it, the fact that he's not even saying the Roman government has anything to do with it.
Right.
Even though they're threatening to take his life, they've locked him up, and they're threatening to take his life. He's not even factoring them in. He said, it's my decision.
Right.
If I decide I'm going to stay, they're not going to kill me.
Right.
If I decide I'm going to go, I'm going to go. Hallelujah. Now that speaks to me. Here's what it says to me. We shouldn't let life dictate our outcome.
Right.
Paul said, Rome's not dictating my outcome.
Right.
I'm going to do it. Right. Of course, according to God's will, right?
Amen.
But I'm going to be the one that's going to decide that, not them. I'll decide that. I love that about Paul there. It puts something in me. It lets me know, look, I'm not going to let, look, all right, so I got a bad report from the doctor. So I get a bad report from the doctor. So it's a terrible report. All right, so you get that. Listen, I'm not going to let that decide my outcome. I'm going to decide whether I'm going or I'm not going. Amen. I'm going to make that decision. Now, I'm not saying the doctor's report is bad. I'm not saying the doctor's report is wrong. You don't blame the doctor. He's just telling you what he found. Right? He's trying to help you. So I'm not going to be sassy with him. I'm just going to, you just say, thank you, doctor, for what you found. Thank God. Amen. Amen. I got somebody else working on this case also. Hallelujah. And he's never lost a patient yet? Oh, really? Yeah. No, not one. Not one. Wow. Maybe I ought to go see him myself. You probably should. His name is Jesus. He's never lost a case. So I got him working on it. So I'm not going to let the doctor's report, I'm not going to let the world, I'm not going to let the devil decide what's going to happen to me. I'm going to decide that. Based on what God's promised me. I'm going to hold on to His promises. Amen. And I'm going to live long. I'm going to live strong. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's like Brother Hagin used to say, if you hear I'm gone, you know I got satisfied. Well, one day he got satisfied and he went on. Amen. But I'm not going to go, and you shouldn't either, until you're satisfied. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm not going to let the devil dictate what I have in life or what I don't have in life. I'm not going to let the world dictate what I have in life or what I don't have in life. I'm going to decide. Amen. Are you with me now? I'm going to decide what I'm going to do and what I'm going to have. Not the devil, not life, not what it throws at me. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God. I'm going to come out on the other side. In victory. Hallelujah. Come on, did you get a nugget out of this morning? It's a little different this morning. We look at a lot of scriptures, but listen, hold on to the promise. Don't give up on it. Why? The promise is true. God's word's true. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.